Let us go to the Lord again in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we come before you and thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you for your providential watch care over us. Help us now as we study the life of the beloved Apostle Paul and make applications therefrom for your honor and your glory and for the benefit of our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. We come now to Paul's ministry and how he devoted himself wholly to the ministry. He was an apostle. He was in that unique office. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he magnifies the fact that he was an apostle. And he said in verse 12, that is 2 Corinthians 12:12, "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." Now, he was a unique apostle in that the 12 apostles, particularly after Christ ascended back to glory, there were 11. Judas had hung himself. And they chose Matthias to take the place of Judas. But in that, and before they cast the lot, they said, well, let's just go back to Acts chapter 1 there for just a moment. Be better that I read it and let your eyes look upon it. Hopefully it'll help you to better remember it by not only hearing me say it, but to read it with me and have your eyes on it and your ears to hear it as well. In verse 21, after they had selected, they said, "Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John and unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness to us of his resurrection." So an apostle had to be one that had been baptized by John, had accompanied the Lord during that 3.5 years of his ministry, and had seen the Lord go back into heaven. So that was the qualifications of one to take Judas's place. But Paul was an apostle, as he said, born out of due time. But he said that he was an apostle. He magnified his apostleship. And then in Acts chapter 14, in verse 3, talking about Paul. Well, I thought the word apostle was used there. "Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord and gave testimony to the word of his grace," and so on. That's not the verse I was looking for. But I'm sorry. Let's go to Acts chapter 19. Where again it talks about him being an apostle. Acts 19, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. In other words, the signs of an apostle were given to him. He was an apostle at Damascus. He was an apostle at Jerusalem. And everywhere that he went, that he was truly an apostle. There are many today that claim to be an apostle, but they lack the signs of an apostle, and therefore they are false apostles. Paul talked about such in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13, he said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." There are false teachers. There are false preachers here even today in which we live. And there are many today that claim to be such, but a true apostle will preach the truth. If one is an apostle, if one is a minister of God, then he's going to preach the truth. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, we'll see that more as we get into looking at those verses. But in Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 9 tells us there is only one gospel. Even Billy Graham said that he thought God had many ways whereby a person would have their sins removed. But God says there's only one way. There's only one way. And that way is through the justifying righteousness of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anybody comes along preaching what is not true according to the Scriptures, then you need to just throw him out on his ears. For the truth is the signs of a true minister of God. In fact, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. One teaching the truth has always been the sign as to whether a person is genuine or not. Deuteronomy chapter 13, taken up in verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in, so shall thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. So we can see from this verse that if a person performs miracles, if they're teaching false doctrine, they're a false prophet. You remember when we were studying through Revelation, talking about the beast and the false prophet there, and how that life was given unto the beast, or to the image of the false prophet, and even fire was brought down out of heaven, and so on. So the truth of a minister is not his talents or the idea of being able to perform miracles. The truth of a minister is he preaching the truth? Is he preaching the truth? And thus we see that obviously Paul did preach the truth. And so we need to always remember that. And if they're not preaching the truth, then they're to be set aside. Look in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them, for they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You know why there are so many different divisions and problems among congregations? Basically because of false teachers. Basically because of false teachers. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, take up in verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, taken up in verse 1, this know, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And we could go on and on and on and on, showing that false teachers deny the truth. Deny the truth. And as 1 Timothy 6 taught, that they teach a doctrine that does not produce godliness. The idea that a man can live in sin, worship pagan religions, and still be a child of grace is not teaching the doctrine that produces godliness. And such are to be avoided. True apostles will suffer. We'll see this more, but in Galatians 1:10, Paul says, chapter 1, verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." They see, they please God more than man. The prosperity gospel folks are liars. The idea if you serve God, then all your bills will be paid for, you won't be sick, and if you've got enough faith, everything, that's just a bunch of hooey. True apostles will show the signs of an apostle. And we've already looked at some of those. I want to look now at some of Paul's preaching, how he suffered. You remember that the Lord Jesus, when he struck Paul down on the road to Damascus, and what he told Ananias, that he's going to show Paul how much he would suffer for the cause of Christ. Suffer for the cause of Christ. In Acts chapter 9, we'll just read that, where the Lord did strike him down. Acts 9, verse 16. "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." For my name's sake. And then when he was sent out by the congregation at Antioch, in Acts chapter 13, we find that Paul and Barnabas and John Mark, where later John Mark ran out on them and went back home because it got too rough for him. We'll just look at a few verses without trying to avoid the context. In Acts 13:45, "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." Then in verse 50, "But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city." Now notice that. High society women and the chief leaders of the city. If you want to get trouble started, that's where you get those stirred up. Just like we have today. Your politicians and your high society folks. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Drop down to chapter 14, verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Verse 5. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, they used them despitefully and to stone them. Verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. Now, by the way, this Antioch is the one here in Pisidia. And here's Iconium. Not this Antioch from where they live. See, there's Antioch in Syria. So they were down there in Derbe and Lystra. And therefore, we see that down here in verse 19, and there came certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Verse 22, after Paul was raised up and leaving Derbe. Let's just read verse 21. Well, let's read verse 20. We read verse 19. Let's go on. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel in that city and had taught many, they returned to Lystra, and to Iconium, and to Antioch. Now notice this. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So Paul suffered. He suffered greatly. In Acts chapter 15, and we won't take the time to read all of this, but if we did, we would read verses 1 through 29, and we would see how that Paul contended for the faith unwaveringly. And in Galatians chapter 2, if we had, we won't take the time to go back there. We'll cover that later on as we get to it. But you remember at one time Paul rebuked Peter to the face. In other words, Paul was so a stickler for the truth, he would stand up against anybody. He didn't allow anyone to get by with preaching heresy. On his second journey, when he went out preaching the gospel, in Acts chapter 16, picking up in verse 19, after Paul had cast an evil spirit out of this girl, and when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, why did they do that? Because Paul cast the devil out of a young girl. And the people who were using the young girl to make gain. In other words, it affected their pocketbook. But Paul was persecuted. Persecuted. He suffered. He suffered from the beginning. And all through his ministry, he continued to suffer for the cause of Christ. And even on his third journey, I've got many, many, many verses of scripture down here to show that, but for time's sake, we won't even go into all of that. But I do want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where we kindly see a summary. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If we went through what the Apostle Paul went through, we probably, I'll just say myself, would probably throw up my hands and want to quit. And I would say that Paul would have if it had not been for God's grace in him. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, well, I'll break into the context, I guess. I'll start at verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. How was he more a minister of Christ than they were? Notice. In labors, more abundant. Paul worked harder than anybody. In stripes, above measure. In other words, he didn't know how many times he'd been beaten. He didn't know how many stripes he had received. In fact, we'll see in the last chapter of Galatians, Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of a true disciple. He had stripes to prove it. He said, I can prove mine by the stripes on my back. In prisons, more frequent. See, he was only in jail there in Philippi, but a lot of places. In deaths oft. We read about there in Derby where they beat him and he was left for dead. Whether he was dead or not, people argue about that, but Paul said, He was on the brink of death many times here. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. See, a Jew couldn't be beaten more than 40 with 40 stripes. And so they thought they'd be merciful and they'd take one strip of leather out of that that they would beat them and put nine in there. And when they got 40 stripes, they only got 39 stripes instead of 40. But let's say five times, that's 195 stripes. See, 40 stripes times 5 is 200. So 39, 5 times save 1, that he was beaten 40 stripes save 1, that means 195 stripes just of the Jews. And he implies in the verse just before that, that he said in stripes above measure, indicating that maybe he would have been beaten more than the 195 times. I've never been hit for the preaching of the gospel. I hope I never am. I've had people mad at me. But I've never been hit. Most of the time, the people that got mad at me didn't have enough intestinal fortitude to talk to me to my face. They went out and lied about me. I've had some to accuse me falsely to my face. Thrice, that's three times, he was beaten with rods, like a bamboo cane. Once he was stoned. We've got a record of that. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Now, Paul, by the way, when he said I was stoned, I'm assuming that was before he wrote 2 Corinthians. But the shipwreck in Acts that talks about Paul being in was after he wrote 2 Corinthians. So therefore we know that he was in more than one shipwreck. A night in the day, I have been in the deep. Can you imagine floating around out in the waters for a night and a day? And then he said, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in city, in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness. You know, it's possible as much as Paul was beaten up and everything, he might have had a whole bunch of arthritic joints. Don't know that, but he says in pains often. Hungry and thirst. In fasting often. In cold and nakedness. I remember Several years ago, Brother Wallace and I were talking and studying together, and we were studying somewhat about Paul, and he said, "What kind of person do you think Paul," said, "what kind of clothes do you think Paul wore?" I said, "Most likely, in my opinion, Paul got most of his dress and clothes from where people might get it from, say, the Salvation Army or the thrift stores." And he was beaten so many times, probably looked like rags on him. This is Paul's unwavering dedication to the preaching of the gospel. In fact, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 10. "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Paul went through everything that he did, not only because he loved the Lord, but because he loved God's people. And he wanted to preach the gospel everywhere he went, that if he run upon an elect anywhere, he wanted that elect to hear the gospel. Of course, there wasn't a big E on anybody's forehead or on their back to tell whether they were an elect or not. So therefore, you have to preach it to everybody. But he said, "I endure all of these things. I'll be beaten, I'll be spit on, I'll be this, I'll be that, I'll be whatever God wants me to do and be and endure in order to get the gospel out to God's people, that they may obtain salvation with eternal glory in Christ Jesus." Some people come across that verse, say, "Well, that really doesn't mean what it says." Well, I believe God's smart enough to know right what he means, what he said. Now, we know that it's only the Holy Spirit that regenerates anybody. We know that nobody will believe unless they've already been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And we know that only the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is what removes, takes away sin and things of that nature. But how is a person going to know about it? How is he going to obtain it if he's not told? And some people are so afraid that they might hand out a tract that doesn't have every I dotted and every T crossed just the way they want it, that they won't do it for fear somebody might think whatever, you know, might think that they believe something they don't. Paul said, "I don't care what you think about me. I want to get the gospel out. And I'll endure whatever it takes." Paul wouldn't be afraid to talk to a waiter or a waitress or somebody across the counter as they cash out their items, their purchase, like we are. Paul wouldn't be afraid to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we don't want anybody to think ill of us. Beloved, we need to have a love of Christ and the love of His Word. Just like the Apostle Paul. He suffered at Jerusalem. Well, he was in the jail in Caesarea for over 3 years. And then he wound up at Rome. But all through Paul's life, here's the summary in 2 Timothy chapter 7. Excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. There's only four chapters. 2 Timothy 4, 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul had no regrets. Paul didn't come to the end of the rope, or the end of the road, I should say, I guess. He said, boy, you know, I really wasted a lot of time. I wished I had written more. I wished I had preached more. I wished I had done this or that more. You know, we have a song in our song book, much of my time is run to waste, and I perhaps am near my home. Paul didn't say, much of my time I've run to waste. Paul said, I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. I've finished my race. In the marathon, I started and I finished it. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Paul was dedicated to the gospel and to the Lord Jesus Christ from beginning to end. I hope this little study on the life of Paul has been encouraging to you. I hope it's been enlightening, but I hope more so that it's been encouraging to you. Paul, on more than one occasion, said, follow me as I follow Christ. If Paul were here today, he would say, keep the faith. He would say, serve God. Be meticulously accurate. But as you are meticulously accurate, be loving and gentle as a nurse with her child to that sinner that is struggling. May God give us such a spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for such an example . We thank you for such a man. And as he himself admitted, he was only what he was by your grace. And as great as he was, and as mighty as he was a sinner. And a thorn was given to him to keep him from being exalted above measure. we too may have a thorn. Though for myself, I don't see how I would ever have any right to be exalted about anything. But I must confess to you, my God, I have just as much pride and vanity and selfishness as any other individual on this earth. And I pray for forgiveness for such, and ask that you would govern my life in such a way that I would not have to be given a thorn. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Now bless us as we depart, and as we endeavor to take up studying through this epistle in subsequent verses, that we might learn of you. In Jesus' name, amen.